Welcome to the Garmia Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're listening to the pod and trust that this message encourages your heart and faith today. At GBC, we're all about partnering with God in the renewal and restoration of all things, and it's our hope that through these sermons, you'll discover the life-changing power of Jesus. If you'd like to join us in person or online or find out more, check out our website at garmiabaptist.org.au.
Good morning, church. Today's Bible reading comes from Isaiah 26, 1 to 8, and it's entitled A Song of Praise. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and ramparts. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the nation that keeps faith. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast, because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord himself, is the rock eternal. He humbles those who dwell on high. He lays the lofty city low. He levels it to the ground and casts it down to the dust. Feet trample it down, the feet of the oppressed, the footsteps of the poor. The path of the righteous is level. You, the upright one, make the way of the righteous smooth. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desire of our hearts.
Thanks, Fiona, for reading that. Well, good morning, church. Lovely to be with you here. As Mark said, I've spent the week in Melbourne with Arrow Leadership, doing a leadership development program that I'm part of. I coordinate New South Wales and Queensland in Arrow 29. And so it was just wonderful to get away with a whole bunch of young leaders who are going to be leading the church into the future. And so, yes, I did come back and I went to the gingerbread event, but I didn't actually speak at the gingerbread event. With that whole theme of developing leaders, we actually asked one of our youth and kids ministry leaders, is Bronte Bannock, to speak at that, because we want to give people a go and make sure that we are developing the next generation of leaders. And it was a great day. She did a wonderful job, and it was great to get together with some ladies and celebrate Christmas by making gingerbread houses. The only downside that I had to yesterday's gingerbread housemaking event was I ended up failing at something called Whamageddon. So I don't know if you're familiar with Whamageddon. Some people might have heard of this. This is a competition that my family do and a whole bunch of people on the internet randomly do. It starts December 1, and you have to go as many days or hours as possible without hearing the song Last Christmas by Wham. Okay, as soon as you've heard Last Christmas, it's Whamageddon and you're out, and you've got to text the group chat. You're out of that. And so I think being in Melbourne for the week in a conference centre away from anything really helped me get to 7 days in. But Whamageddon happened. And so I don't know if that's your thing, but I really love Christmas music. So I don't mind hearing Wham's Last Christmas. I don't mind Christmas music. I actually think it's really cool. I know that there's people out there that you go to the supermarket and the music's pumping and piping through and you're just trying to do your shopping and, oh my gosh, the songs come through. And I get that, but part of me really gets chuffed, really gets excited when I'm just randomly at Miranda Fair or wherever I am, and a song comes through, and the song is not just a Last Christmas style song, but it's a Jesus song. It's a carol. I love that I can be, you know, buying bread and eggs and, you know, in the ether, in the supermarket for everyone to hear is songs of praise and glory and declaration that Jesus has come, that Emmanuel is here, that born is the King, right? Does anyone else get excited about that? Nod, yes, it's great. Even though you might not like the tune, you can amen the words and the lyrics, right? But songs are powerful, and they speak to us in a different way than just prose. They're poetry set to music, and one of the reasons we've chosen songs for our window display that's out here is because of the way that songs move us. They break through our consciousness and say something to us. You might have had that experience. Well, today's Bible verse that we're reading from Isaiah 26 is actually a song. It's a song that Isaiah the prophet says that Israel is going to sing, and it's a song where he hopes that, just like those Christmas songs in the supermarket, that it's going to break through to people and that it's going to give them a hope. It's a song of hope, and it's a song of the future. This is in Isaiah. This is hundreds of years before Jesus is going to be born, before Jesus arrives on the scene. And Isaiah is a prophet around the time of the exile. So it's kind of mid-exile and things are looking bleak for the people of Israel. And Isaiah is speaking God's truth to them and explaining some stuff. God, in where we are in salvation history, has brought his people to the promised land to be God's people in God's place under God's rule. And he has had a covenant with them, an agreement with them, the Abrahamic covenant, that he is going to make them great. He is going to make them a great nation. And anyone who blesses them is going to be blessed. And anyone who curses them is going to be cursed. And ultimately, God says about his people that all the nations of the world are going to be blessed through Israel. And he has this covenant with them. And God has been faithful to his covenant. He has been good to them. He has been God to them. Unfortunately, if you've been tracking with us this year through the sermon series, you'll know that even though God has been faithful, Israel has not. They have been unfaithful. They've followed other gods. They've broken the covenant again and again and again. And the prophets speak to them again and again and again to say to them, this is what God is going to do. You are in the land flowing with milk and honey. You are God's people, but he is going to send you into exile. He's going to use the nations around you to discipline you, to cast you out, to teach you, and they're actually going to be my instrument to remove you because you're not faithful to the promises that we have, this covenant agreement that we have. And so Isaiah is warning the people. There's already been some exile happening, and there's still people remaining in the land. And he goes on he writes a symphony of judgment of all these nations. And finally, he gets to this chapter in 26 where he holds out a bit of hope in the chaos, a bit of hope in the exile, a bit of hope in the fear, the anxiety, the suffering, the loss, and holds out hope about what God is going to do and a song that they're going to sing and the breakthrough that that song is going to have. So, in this song, I think it's almost like A Tale of Two Cities. You remember that book, Dickens' book, A Tale of Two Cities? Well, this passage is a bit like A Tale of Two Cities. They're juxtaposed cities. And he goes and sings, and he says, we're going to sing this song. You're going to say, we have a strong city. That's one city. A strong city, and God is going to make salvation its walls and ramparts. It's going to be built on the things of God. God is going to be its security and its safety. He's going to be the thing that defines the city. And then he says, open up the gates that the righteous nation may enter. There's an entry into this city. And this city is built on trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord himself, the rock eternal, is going to be built on the things of God. This is this amazing, beautiful city that he describes you're going to be singing over. But it's juxtaposed or contrasted with this other city, this metaphorical other city, which honestly looks like the nations of the world, this other city. And this is in verse 5, if you're flicking through with your Bible. And it says, but also God, he sings, he is going to humble those who dwell on high. He's going to lay the lofty city low. He's going to level it to the ground and cast it down to the dust, and feet are going to trample it down, the feet of the oppressed, the footsteps of the poor. So we've got these two cities imagery in this song. The city of God, where salvation is the walls, it's built on the rock, it's secure, it trusts in the Lord. And this other city, which has almost set itself up as an opposition to the things of God. And this self-defiance and self-sufficiency, that it's a city where there's oppression. And there's a city where the poor aren't treated well. There's a city where God's will is not enacted, where his laws are ignored. And God promises through this song, in the middle of the exile, in the middle of the fear, that one day we will be singing this song. We'll be singing, yes, Our city is God's city. And the city that is opposed to God, which is anti-God, God is going to bring that down. He is going to get rid of it. He is going to destroy that city to such a point that it is actually on the ground. It's no longer lofty and high, worshipping other gods, doing its own thing. It's going to be in the dust, in the dirt. And you know what else it's going to be? The poor people who they have oppressed, they're going to be the ones stepping it into the ground. Thank you very much, says Isaiah. This is what is going to happen in these cities, because God has a plan and a purpose, and God has a way that he's going to save people, and he has a salvation history. His promises are going to come true. He is going to bless the whole world, just like he promised Abraham. And even though the people are going to be exiled, God is still going to enact his promises, and he is going to glorify himself, and he is going to bring down anybody who is against the things of God. Good, good stuff. Well, we hear this in Isaiah, and it's a prophetic song. It's a future song. And these people are looking forward to not only the end of the exile, when they can come back to the promised land and worship God in the temple and do all the things that they did to worship God, but that there's a sense that God is doing this big thing. He's going to save the nations. He's going to renew and restore, in our language, the whole world. And we see this song in another place in Scripture, something quite similar to this song in another place in Scripture. We see this song start to come true, start to be enacted and be echoed in Luke chapter 1. And we see this in a song which is known as the Magnificat, Mary's song, when Mary, the mother of Jesus, is visited by the angel and he says that you're going to give birth to a son, the Son of God, and she says, may it be to me as you've spoken, and she sings a song that breaks through. It's called the Magnificat because it's not about cats, it's actually about magnifying. The first word is magnify the Lord. My soul glorifies or magnifies the Lord. And while it's not an identical mix to our Isaiah passage, in the language of songs, it harmonizes. Yeah, it's a reprise, so to speak, in the language of songs. And there's a lot of similarities there. That same God, who is the God who brings down those who are against him, is going to do that here. In fact, Mary's song, just as an FYI, is actually so powerful and revolutionary that it's actually been banned in several countries across the years because it's a song of revolution about bringing down. So while Isaiah, his song about God's plans and purposes says things like, he humbles those who dwell on high, Mary's song is a similar kind of echo of that. He says he has brought down rulers from their thrones, this sense of bringing down rulers from their thrones. And while Isaiah says, you know what, the oppressed and the poor, they're going to be the ones that trample, Mary's says those poor, not only are they going to be trampled, but he's going to fill the hungry, the oppressed, with good things, and he's going to send the rich away empty. There's quite a few things there that marry up across the years. And we see that Isaiah's prophetic song about these two types of cities, about how God is going to glorify his name and he's going to bring down the haughty and the high, it finds ground zero in Mary's song. And that's the start of that gospel. And we see, of course, Mary's song that she sings about how God is going to do incredible things, about how the revolution, the flip is going to happen. We see that lived out in the rest of the gospel in her son Jesus. We see God's plans and purposes fulfilled in Jesus. We see Jesus being the one who goes to the poor, who goes to the oppressed, who spends time with those who have been trampled on and comes alongside them and lifts them up. We see through the work of Jesus on the cross, the principalities and powers, the things that set themselves up as God, ashamed by the cross. And God actually, through Jesus, God actually brings down the rulers and the powers and the principalities, and Jesus has the victory over them. We also just see that in the gospel, where those who are powerful and even those who are religious and powerful are opposed to Jesus, but he shows them who he is, who he is as God. And of course, we see that in that ground zero prayer of Mary and through the gospel, we see that Jesus is incarnate God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. So in Isaiah, the song of hope is about the exile, being sent away from God's presence, no longer able to be God's people in God's place, living out God's plans. And then as we look forward to Mary's song and then the work of Jesus, we see that those exiles is us. We are the ones who are spiritually exiled from God, and the work of Jesus brings us as exiles back to him. That we, like Israel, is about to be sent off in exile and they can no longer worship God. We find that in Jesus, the plans and purposes of God are fulfilled and we can worship God in spirit and truth and we can know God fully, not needing the temple because now we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we see that for the exiles were sent away from that place where God dwelt. And in Jesus, the plans and purposes of God are such that God now dwells among us. He is with us. So these giant plans and purposes of God, this song of hope that Isaiah sings, this echo of the song or the refrain of the song that Mary sings, we see it's fulfilled in God. God had a plan and a purpose so that, in the promises to Abraham, all the world will be blessed through Israel, through his people. And we see it fulfilled in Jesus. The theme of this sermon series is this Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. And as Mark mentioned earlier, it's from a Charles Wesley hymn. And the idea is that hymn has kind of two parts to it. It's a reminder that in the Old Testament, they were looking forward to Christ. They were looking forward to what God was going to do. They knew that God had a plan to renew and restore all things, but it's a bit wobbly. We didn't really know what it was going to look like. We didn't know Jesus. And we were looking forward with expectation to that day when we're going to sing that song about God's salvation in the city. But it's also, for us and for Wesley, it's about us who live on the other side of Christmas, who live on the other side of Easter, that we are still people who await Jesus, that sense of long expected Jesus. We're looking for Jesus to return, to come back. And there's a beautiful, beautiful stanza in this song that kind of describes this for us about what God is doing through his plan. And this is how it goes. It says, Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation and joy of every longing heart. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. And I love that I can, and you can, we can, see God's giant plan writ large. We can see from the beginning of the scripture where sin entered the world that God had a plan and a purpose, and we can see that hope in the songs that break through like this Isaiah song to say, yes, there's two ways to live. There's two cities, to live in the trust of God or to live in the trust of yourself. And we can see in Mary's song how that's going to be lived out in Jesus, and we can see how Jesus is the fulfillment of things. But sometimes, my friends, I get caught up in the macro. I get caught up in God's big pictures, which is great, and that's a great place to be. I'm not saying that's not a good thing. But sometimes I forget that this is lived out on an individual level, and that when God enacted his plan, he spoke to a young girl named Mary to say, this is what I'm going to do. That he actually cares for individuals. And sometimes, my friends, with that long expected, I sit on this side of Jesus. I sit on this side of the cross and I'm looking for Jesus to come. And I look back and I get a bit judgy. I kind of judge the Israelites who are about to get into exile. And I go, how could you do this? How could you? Like, it's so clear. Like, God had brought you to this land. Miracles had happened. He'd promised it. He did it. He covenanted it. He was faithful and you did not do it. How did you get it so wrong? And I get a bit judgy. Not a great thing. But I do. And I forget that I see this big picture, but it's lived out individually. It's lived out not just on the macro, but it's on the micro. And when I read again this song of praise from Isaiah 26, this song of the two cities, God spoke to me this week and said, which city are you living as a citizen of? Which city is your dwelling place? Which city are you a citizen in? If people looked at you, would they be able to tell what city you belong to? Because even though you know it, you know the plans and purposes of God, and you see it and you have faith and you trust it, is that transforming your life? Is this able to change your life and your world and your attitudes and your behaviours in such a way that people can see that I'm a citizen of this kind of city, not of the city that is brought low? Because friends, sometimes I am like that lofty city that Isaiah speaks against. The lofty city that is self-sufficient. And sometimes I think, and I don't know if you do this too, but sometimes I think I can trust in my own righteousness. That not everything that I have is God's. Sometimes I can behave and have an attitude in such a way that doesn't reflect that God is my saviour, that the walls of the city that I live in is salvation, that he is the rock that I stand on. Sometimes I think it's all about me. Sometimes my attitudes, even that judgy attitude that I looked at the Israelites, shows that I'm sometimes a citizen of the wrong kind of city. And friends, I don't want to be brought down low by God, because we know that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And so I want to be a person who says to God, God, I don't want to be in that lofty city. I know that nothing I have done, nothing I will ever do can ever make me perfect and good in your sight. Only Jesus, only Jesus. Nothing in my hand I bring, only to the cross I cling. That's the way I need to live trusting in Jesus. And I need to move out of that city that God wants to bring low. And I need to move into the right city, the strong city, the city that Isaiah says God makes salvation its walls and ramparts, the city that it says trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal. And I want my life, and maybe you do too, to reflect that I'm a citizen of that city, that I can see God's plans and purposes writ large across the scriptures and across humanity's history, but I need it to be writ large in my heart. I need to have my behaviors and my attitudes and my first thoughts show that I'm a citizen of that city, that I trust in God and Christ alone. And if I do that, if I live that way and I say, yes, Lord, everything I have is from you, I trust in you, I want to be like that city that speaks to the world. Because God still has that plan and purpose. He still wants to bless the world through us. And if I'm living that righteous city life where salvation is my walls and my strength and my shield, then I can live in such a way that the gates are open, as Isaiah says, that the gates of the city, the gates of my life, the transparency of my life, the openness of my life is actually something which is invitational and open to the world. Open the gates, says Isaiah, that the righteous nation or people may enter, those that keep faith, and they'll find perfect peace. In the words of that beautiful song, the hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. I want to live in that city. I want to be the person that lives with gates wide open so that when people see me, they see a little mini micro version of the plans and purposes of God. They see an invitation to what it looks like to live in covenant with God, in fellowship with God, in step with the Holy Spirit as the Saviour. I want that to be my legacy. Do you? This song, the verse that we read, ends with this. It says, yes, Lord, walking in the ways of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desire of my heart. Your name and renown are the desire of my heart. I want to live in that city. I want to live in that city because it's not about me. It's about you, Jesus. And when people look at me, I want them to see an open gate and an invitation to heaven. And I want them to see that, that's for them too. That's for them too. They don't have to live in such a way that is opposed to God, but they can live in a way where they're just standing on the Lord and receiving all he has from him. And when they see the things that God has done, they're going to glorify him. And that's the same thing that Mary sings, isn't it? It says, my soul glorifies the Lord, the renown of God, the magnification of God. And that's the way I want to live. So my challenge for us this morning is to look again and anew and afresh, not just at your salvation, which is great, and that's always a good thing to look at. If you're never ever considered Jesus and you've just found yourself in church or finding this online and you've never considered Jesus, consider that he has called. He's called you to find out more about him. I'd recommend you do that. But also, if you've been following Jesus for a little while, think about which city are you living in? Where's your citizenship? And what's God calling you to throw down, to let go of? What's he calling you to embrace and to take up? What is God calling you to repent of, to seek his forgiveness of? And we know, of course, there is repentance and forgiveness for those that come and seek the Lord. So friends, that's my challenge and my encouragement to you today. As we wait, as we look forward to Jesus' return, as we have faith in his plan, in that macro level, let it be lived out in the micro, in the individual level, and let us follow and trust and have peace in God and live that way. Amen. What about I pray for us? And then we're going to invite the worship team up and we're going to sing a song in response. And if you, I'm going to pray for you right now, but if you do have prayer, it was really lovely that Paul shared his week. Really appreciated that. And I know that many of us have difficult weeks and we are a church who believes in the power of prayer. And we want to stand with you in prayer alongside you and pray with you and for you. And so if you do have prayer needs, some of our team will be down the front during the song and remain after the service for a bit. Come and grab some prayer or grab the person next to you if they're a person who prays. Online friends, there's a little button there that you can just hit and just type in your prayer request. We do faithfully pray for those week by week. So don't let that opportunity pass you by. But right now, I wonder if you wouldn't mind standing and let's commit ourselves anew and afresh to God. So let's do that together. Oh, loving God, I thank you so much for your word. Thank you for Isaiah's song, a song of hope. Lord God, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of exile, in the midst of judgment, this song that is about what you're going to do. And it's a song about who you are, that you are so faithful and good and true to your promises. And Lord, thank you that we can look back and we can see that your hand is at work and we can see that you have sent Jesus. Lord, we thank you for Mary's echo or refrain of that. And we thank you that through the life and teachings of Jesus, we see you. We thank you that through the death and suffering and the glorious resurrection of Jesus, that your plans and purposes are fulfilled. And we are part of that, Lord. So there's times, God, where we have not lived in the way that you want us to live. There's been times, God, where we've swung back into that other city, the one that is opposed to you, the one that you want to break down. And we do that, God, and we repent of that, and we turn again to you and seek your forgiveness and ask, Lord God, that you would cleanse us anew and afresh, take our sin as far away as the east is from the west. And in faith, we say thank you and amen. And Lord, we pray that you would give us a new courage, a new excitement, a new desire to live in the city where the walls of salvation, where the ramparts are there, a city which is built on the rock of all, the rock of ages, the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us to live in such a way that you will bless the nations through us. That people will look at us as individuals in a community of faith, and instead of just seeing us, they will see you. The hope of every nation. Lord, we want to see your name glorified. We want to see your kingdom come. We want to see you magnified this Christmas. So together the church said, Amen.
Thanks for listening to this sermon podcast. We hope you found inspiration and encouragement, and God used this message to speak to you. If you want to connect more with GBC, you can follow us on social media or contact us via our website. You can also get to know some of the people from our church community through the We Are the Church podcast. Real stories of real people sharing how Jesus has shaped and transformed their life. We pray you experience the transforming power of Jesus in your life and pray that God blesses you today.